Good day. I'm Jackie Judd, joined by Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. And this is Health on the Hill, a conversation about recent activity on Capitol Hill regarding health care policy and legislation. Welcome back, Mary Agnes.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Two key committees on the Hill will be meeting this week, Senate Finance, House Ways and Means. What should we be expecting?
On the Senate Finance Committee, they're going to have a closed-door session with members. They're going to walk through some of their the ideas they want to have in legislation for reforming the healthcare delivery system. There's expected the members will be expected to come out and talk about that afterwards, and I think it's important because the Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus has set June as a time that he wants to mark up the bill. And so as we move toward the month of June, we're going to get more and more details, and this is the first step towards that. In the House, the Ways and Means Committee, which is also a key committee of jurisdiction, is going to have a hearing talking about the employer-based health insurance system. And there's great concern that in health reform, that the employer-based system, where a lot of us get our coverage, is not weakened in any way by health care reform. So I think you'll have a lot of discussion about how those two things intersect.
And that leads me to the next question. One of the issues, the key issues that seems to be emerging over the past couple of weeks in particular is, what is a public plan option? What is the definition? What are the definitions?
It's a very open question at this point. The health insurance industry is very concerned that a public plan option will resemble the Medicare program and be paid by Medicare rates. And their concern is that if that's the case, that the price of the public plan option will undercut what's currently in the private market and that they'll lose market share. They're very concerned about that. But there are others, including Nancy Ann DeParle, who heads the White House Office of Health Reform, who has said the administration is open to defining what a public plan is. And she's having those conversations with both Republicans and Democrats on the Hill, and that they're not locked in. One other definition out there that could be a possibility is a lot of health plans offered to people where the whole program is administered by the government, but they're private sector choices. I think the question of a public plan option is extremely unclear and open at this point.
Another issue that we've heard more about since you and I last spoke is a question that is being articulated more frequently by Republicans than Democrats, and that is the issue of, do we spend more money on health care or do we squeeze out money from the current system and put that money elsewhere?
This is a key question. Republicans are asking that question, but you also have some Democrats. Ron Wyden of Oregon, for example, brought it up at a recent finance roundtable to discuss the delivery system reform. Kent Conrad, who's the Democratic chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, has said, now wait a minute, do we really need to put more money into this system? Chuck Grassley, a Republican senator from Iowa, he's the ranking member of Senate Finance, posed the very same question. This is of great concern because, as Ron Wyden put it, maybe perhaps lawmakers and voters are getting bailout fatigue. We've spent enough money currently on other things, including bailing out the financial system. How much more money do we want to spend on health care when statistics show that a third of the money, $700 billion of the current system, is wasted? So I think that that is going to be a critical discussion point as we have this debate for months on health care reform.
Let me ask another question now, and that has to do with Kathleen Sebelius, who was confirmed by Senate Finance recently, but only with the support of two Republicans. So what should we read into that regarding whether there will be true bipartisanship during the health care reform debate and her stewardship of that issue?
I think that it could be a very strong indicator that Republicans are very concerned they won't have a voice or strong enough a voice at the table at health care reform. There's concerns about how Democrats might use something called comparative effectiveness research to determine coverage of certain medical treatments and devices and that sort of thing. I think Republicans are very concerned that Democrats might use something called budget reconciliation, which would allow Democrats to move health reform in the Senate by a simple majority rather than meeting a 60-vote threshold. And I think that they are fearful, Republicans, that they may not have the strong voice that they want to have in health reform. Now, we'll have to watch as that plays out over the next few months, but I think that there was definite contention over her nomination, and that could be a sign of things to come.
You know, one last question I want to ask you, and it has to do with the ways in which this subject is going to be debated. On the Hill recently, there have been roundtables. Now, usually we hear about hearings. What is the purpose of a committee holding a roundtable? Is it a less polarizing environment in which to exchange information?
I think it's a less formal environment. Typically, a hearing has, you have your set witnesses, they have a controlled amount of time to make their opening statements. You go around the dais, Republicans and Democrats have time to ask their questions. It's all very time limited. In a roundtable, it's a more relaxed and a more informal discussion.
But why have they chosen to do it for health care? It is an unusual forum for the Hill.
I think it shows, it highlights the complexities of the issue and the difficulty of reaching consensus. I think they want to bring as many people to the table as they possibly can, a broad array of views. And, for example, in a recent Senate Finance Roundtable, Max Baucus, who's the chairman, asked members, please don't make opening statements. He didn't even introduce formally, as they usually do, all the members of the roundtable. He wanted to get, as he said, right to the heart of the matter. Let's get right to that discussion. And I think it is an easier way to facilitate the airing of a lot of different views. And we're certainly going to have a lot more of this debate in the months to come as we go into the spring and summer on health reform.
We will talk again next week. Thank you so much, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News.
Thank you.